There's a great and a bloody fight round this whole world tonight. In the battle, the bombs and shrapnel rain. Hitler told the world around he would tear our Union down. But our Union's gonna break them slavery chains. And our Union's gonna break them slavery chains. I walked up on a mountain in the middle of the sky.
Hello and welcome back to our podcast, where fanfic of fanfic that itself is a synthesis of Fallout, the Poppy Game, a post-apocalyptic wasteland, and My Little Pony, a popular show about pastel horses. Hi, I'm Fi. I'm joined once again with my co-host, Weird. Say hello, Weird.
Hello, Weird. No, that's awful. Let's do it again.
We got...
Cut that back. Roll the back. You're not dealing with the average Weirdington anymore, Fi. I have risen above and become the legend that you feared. I am Sir Weirdington Esquire. This is going to be a bad episode. It's going to be a painful chapter. And so not only have I girded my loins with an actual Bronze Age girdle, made of studded leather. I've run a mile. I've eaten a hearty stew on this is a real hack. I don't know if it works for anybody else's physiology, but I cooked ramen noodles in it. Like I cracked open a thing of instant ramen and I poured an incredibly manly beef stew on it.
Mm. Yeah. It's always a good one.
And it has filled me with power! Power enough to conquer any fanfic or fanfic.
Plus 15 damage and defense. Holy shit. Alright, we're back again, once again, folks. Chapter, episode 62, chapter 65, Knowledge. Like, we're gonna get into the recap in a hot second, but I just want to say, like, this chapter didn't just make me mad. It produced a like visceral gut response through the whole thing. So like if I sound angrier than I normally do with this particular podcast, then like this is why. But first, Weird, to cushion the blow, you should tell us what we learned last week.
Should I? Did anything happen last week? There are only two things that stand out in my mind, and only because the members of Fi's Discord directly reminded me, and thus earned my eternal anger. I will someday wreak a terrible vengeance on the well-meaning soul that reminded me of what we did last week. Blackjack. Okay, it hurts to. I'm all girdled and everything, and it's still hard. Blackjack apparently has been using the perfect spying machine to watch her adoptive niece sex a 14-year-old girl engage in...
Real bad. Fractally bad. Universally bad. Galaxy-brain bad. It's
bad?
It's real bad. So much lightning is coming at it as bad take right now, you won't believe.
And it turns out Squeak, it turns out the, turns out Boo, the mascot, fragile, innocent pet, has been the god of chaos Discord this entire time.
Boo on the...
I was a turkey the whole time!
Boo, as voiced by John DeLancey. fucking Christ. Yeah, it never really hit me how...
with both hands so that my skull remains where it belongs and in a single solid piece.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, that bit is fucking cartoonishly bad. Like, it didn't really hit me until Weird brought it up, how much that, like, guts... The like small good moment that where Blackjack is having a robotic based panic attack and she's like calmed by the
innocence of a child, the innocence of babes speaks to, like, no, you're still you. Look, even this dumb baby recognizes you.
This dumb baby sees you as you really are.
But no, the dumb baby was the living embodiment of the concept of chaos.
Yes.
Which means that, like, in a better written story, Blackjack should be having a relapse right now.
Yes. But she's currently, also the Legate is there, so she currently doesn't have time to do that.
Man, let me tell you, psychic breakdowns can happen whenever, wherever.
Oh, no, I know, but I, like, I'm just saying, like...
Yeah, no, from the perspective of a lazy author who can't walk and chew bubblegum at the fucking same time.
Bold of you to assume Sombra can do either of those things independently of each other. But yeah, that was basically all chapter, like, 64 even was. It was just, like, recap of what the fuck BJ was even doing, and that's it. I think we learned some
Rampage
dumb secrets
was
that
doing,
don't matter.
Doing a betray? I don't know. We met the new goddess, and it was bad. It was.
We haven't met the goddess yet.
A goddess.
We met the Eater of Souls, which is a different thing.
Why isn't that a fucking? Why are they separate things? Why are Cognitum and the Eater of Souls separate? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you do that and voice them both? Why would you ruin the Eater of Souls twice? Like, I fucking broke down, like, several chapters ago. My brain melted out of my ears in woe and rage that you would do this to your, like, unspeakable Eldritch thing. But then you assured me, oh, no, that's not the unspeakable Eldritch thing. That's a different thing that's related to the... That's next to... manipulate and manifestation of, it's not even clear. Anyway, no, that's the other deity. That's the artificial deity distinct from the Eater of Souls. Don't worry, Weirdington, you said to me, don't worry. This is
in
a
my defense
place for you to have your emotional breakdown
in my defense weird
deeply bad
in my defense weird I forgot it could talk. Because I don't think it does it again. So, in my defense, I forgot this scene. It had been stricken from my memory.
But here now I'm angry.
Yes.
Last week, I was blissfully dead. Like my... I had the phylactery where I keep my heart well and stationed away. But now it's here in my lap, and we're having a moment.
God. Oh, I guess we could get into this chapter now, can't we?
How do you fuck up this bad?
Oh, like, get ready for it. We haven't even begun. Oh, okay.
Here my guts hanging out, belly flopping around. I gotta put my heroic girdle back on. The modern context of the word girdle, like, really, like, it almost upsets me. Like, it's a perfectly good piece of armor, but it's unrespectable sounding in the modern age.
A little bit, yeah.
Leave kids these days. You 20th century kids, like 21st century kids, don't appreciate a good armored girdle.
You don't enjoy a good +1 to AC to groin. Oh, fuck. Yeah, so chapter 65, knowledge. I subtitled this one, there's so much fucking talking in this one. But yay, we open up with a really confusing dumb fight that I hate, where BJ, Rampage, and Discord all fight the Legate to a hilarious standstill, while BJ is yelling at Discord for bring back Boo right now. Just to get this out of the way the Boo-Discord thing works is insanely confusing, because it's Discord is just been, like, joyriding in Boo's body up until now, and apparently conserving his energy while doing so.
Well, because her hard gimmick is that she's a husk.
Yes. So Boo does have her own identity outside of this, but, like, it's one of those things where just, like, it doesn't really do a very good job of explaining how that works or anything. And it's
just, really weird that would be the case.
Again, Boo is a husk. Why would she even have an identity at all? But I guess she, like... Apparently you can...
She could develop one if she weren't inhabited.
Apparently you can just do that, though, so whatever. But yeah, just get that out of the way. Like, Discord is just in her body right now and is controlling her right now, but that's not really adding anything to the story at all. We learn that a fucking dumb piece of zebra mythology. So one of the tribes is the Coyotl, and we'd learned the tribes of the Coyotl are, or at least the modern ones, which are known as the Brood of Coyotl, are all blanks like boo, because Coyotl is the word for discord in the zebra mythology, because his name is comparable to coyote, which is not something I'm willing to get into right now, mythologically, but whatever. The weird robo-drone zebras are made of clone stuff that have cybernetics put into them. That only matters because it comes up later. Only reason why I'm bringing it up right now. We get a...
Ah, zebras. The universal other.
Every goddamn thing about them is the universal.
You got some brown people mysticism you want to put in your pony? Your pony thing? just turn to the zebras.
Yeah.
They got you covered.
Yeah. Not even getting into the fact that, like, coyote is, like, you know, a Native American mythology thing. And buffaloes are Native American coded and the Fallout.
So I can't in good conscience repeat the line, but I would recommend everybody go track down a weird indie darling that barely anybody's seen called Ghost Dog. And there's a scene wherein these, like, over-the-hill, golden years mafia types are talking together. Yeah, we shot him. You shot an engine. The guy we're after is black. Same thing.
Same energy. But we get a fight that, like, oh, if Rampage didn't suck, this would be kind of fun. Oh, and also this scene's stupid anyways, but, like, Rampage is fighting the Legate, and she's like, you know, she switches into her zebra fight, and they start fighting to a standstill. And then the Legate's like, I've had 200 years to master your fighting style. I can beat you easily. So she starts, like, oscillating between all of her other, like, soul personalities to get the upper hand on them. And that's a really, really cool gimmick. And I would love that if that was kind of how they beat him. And you know, it is a personification of, like, the parts we like about Rampage, which is, like, well, you don't have an identity or a gestalt being, but uniquely, because you are a gestalt being, you can overcome this far significantly more dangerous and stranger threat, because you and yourself have a unique gimmick that he couldn't possibly account for. But then it turns out that he can just soul punch her. He just hits her in the soul, and she just falls over and doesn't work anymore. And same with Blackjack, which is just like,
fucking whatever.
Friend of the podcast brought this up, but this feels a lot like, oh, this is the unedited Legate before he got nerfed. No, I know it's a fucking whatever, but it still really bugs me that, like, there's a cool moment here that is just utterly destroyed by just, like, Legate needs to win everything. Like, he just has to no-sell every single fight, and it's not fun to watch.
And that's precisely why I'm whatevering. Like, I don't, like, fuck. There's nothing else to say. Like, you've hit the nail on the head. Like, it's impossible to comment further. It's just he, like... I have a spirit punch that knocks anybody out no matter what.
And it hurts so bad, even a person who has lived for 200 years and has exploded multiple times can't take it.
And has, like, multiple bodies to, like, absorb it, like, you'd think that Rampage would be uniquely, like, again, uniquely suited to absorb a hit like that.
Yeah, but no, apparently she's more weak to it because she's made of souls. But they shoot him with the magic bullet that BJ was supposed to use to kill a little Pip, which would be a nice callback, but I don't care because this doesn't... Like, this is the thing, like, I don't want to spend too much time talking about any individual scene in this because there's a lot to cover, but I really want to talk about the concept of, like, doing this kind of, like, Chekhov's gun kind of thing of, like, this bullet coming up from a previous scene and using it finally is a cool concept. But the problem with it is, this is a very common thing in, like, anime and manga, where, like, a hero will do some crazy desperate move or use, like, a one-shot attack, but because of, like, the unfortunate broken pacing of, like, scheduling a weekly series, the villain just gets back up next chapter and he's, like, completely fine. And that's what happens here. They shoot him with a bullet that could theoretically kill anybody, and he's just like, lol, I have a Phoenix Talisman in me, so this won't work. So they just run away from him as he's regenerating, and, like, that's just, like, I don't like this character. Like, I don't like Leggett at all. So, like,
I don't know how much I've said it before on the cast, but like, the thing that frustrates me most about the Leggett is that he's yet another.
He's just Rampage again.
Yeah, he's a yet another healing factor guy, and like, I misunderstood when he was first described, especially with the like the description of him catching a tank shell. I thought his gimmick was like going to be like, especially being a Roman themed, like a guy called the Leggett. I thought his thing was like arte, was like sheer inviolability. Yes. Like you cannot harm him, you cannot push him, you cannot pull him.
Yeah, he has a magical domain that you cannot move him from.
And that creates an interesting anime puzzle villain, but like is just fucking Rampage again some more.
Yeah.
And to have it that like it really is an obnoxious like kindergarten playground. I have a shield that can blow anything. Oh yeah, I have a gun that can shoot that shoots through the shield that can block anything. Well, below my shield that blocks anything is a shield that blocks that.
Cool. Good storytelling.
Thanks, Somber. You're a genius.
Discord breaks the fourth wall for a while and pontificates on the nature of storytelling, which is a new...
Suck my ass!
Is a new level of up your own ass is when you're talking about the idea that, like, a character talking about the idea of, like, broad stereotypes is a real thing in the story, and the idea that, like, they can sort like, Discord can theoretically see the code of a setting, and he knows that, like, none of this was supposed to happen. Like, his big thing was that this is not the way that the world was supposed to go. It was supposed to be go a different way, and everything went wrong for some reason, and he can't figure out why, but it's, like, it's not even a fate thing. He's just making allusions to the way that, like, Friendship is Magic went, as opposed to the story. Like, why is this non-canon? But yeah, him pontificating on the nature of stories is so rooted up your own ass. Like, you have become like an Uzumaki spiral of your own ass up your own ass. Like,
the thing that's really funny to me is that this is akin to somebody whose highest masterwork was managing to put together a functional clay pot on a spinning wheel and etching a frowny face on it before he put it in the kiln. Coming back to muse wistfully about the true nature of sculpture.
They fight Eldritch Horrors and Scorpion Robots for a while, and no one gives a fuck about that, so I get to skip that, which is my favorite part of this chapter. My favorite part is always the part that gets to skip, but this one especially so. BJ gets, like, not memory orb, but there's a bunch of, like, floating ghost motes around, like the microwave hallway, and she's, like, she gets trapped in a ghost dimension for a while. And it's just to explain the idea that, like, the Eater of Souls doesn't even, like, eat souls, it just collects them for some reason, and no one knows why.
You know what? I take it back. In this metaphor, Sombra has never built a functional pot. Every last one has a fucking leak in it.
Discord explains at some point, too, that this is just the things, like, stars do, is they create life, which is, like, so if this was, like, not the worst story ever, the idea of, like, the reason why the Eater of Souls, which is a star pulled down from the cosmos, like, the reason why it keeps generating life and, like, horrible, like, mutations and stuff is because it is, like, the core mytho, like, the mytho-idiosyncratic nature of stars, like, of suns. They create life through solar interaction. So you could interpret that in a really specific way, that it's light that creates monsters by its exposure, which I think is a Lovecraft thing in of itself. I don't care, because no one get, like, This has no place in this fucking setting. Like, it just doesn't. It does not add anything to do all this crazy, like, Lovecraftian bullshit in your story, because it has no bearing on any of the characters for any reason. Yay, now we get to, like, part of the chapter that's going to take the longest, and basically is the rest of the chapter, is that BJ, like, just goes and talks to Cognitum because she, like, wants answers, because she's she is not so much firmly holding the idiot ball as much as she's just eating it for the remainder of the scene. She does all of the dumbest things imaginable. Because first of all, she right before this, just before this happens, she calls, like, she does the one smart thing in this chapter. She goes like, "Hey, Rampage, what was that whole deal with you, like, talking with Steel Rain? Because I kind of want to know what the fuck that was all about." And Rampage is like, "Ah, nerds. I was kind of hoping you didn't see that, because Rampage made a deal with Steel Rain and Cognitim because Cognitim offered the deal that if Rampage would get her old body back and her life back and everything would get fixed, and Rampage would get to die from this. And so, like, BJ's like, okay, that's cool, but I can't trust you anymore. So, like, bye forever. Like, I'm just going to go do this by myself," which, like, she should have done this a long time ago, but, like,
yeah,
this is a thing I respect. It's like, hey, like, cause, like, I'm going to talk about this in a little bit too, but I just really, 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 really fucking hate Book 5 Rampage. Because I hate that she's literally never progressed as a character. She is given every opportunity to become, like, a better person or a more realized person. But she's digging down so hard on this just, "Oh, I want to die." And there's no escalation to why she wants to do this. Like, there wasn't, like, an event that triggered that made her go, like, "Oh, well, now I want to die harder and now nothing can stop me." Like, maybe you could make the excuse that BJ rummaging through her memories and finding all the, like, distinct parts, but, like, nothing about that makes sense. Like, I don't understand why she doesn't come to the conclusion of she needs to just make herself a person. It does not make any fucking sense, and it just, like, I hate that this is the character that she would just willingly betray her literal only friend, basically just for the most selfish reason possible. She wants to die, and she doesn't care how many people it'll hurt to do it. And, like, Rampage has never been a great character, but that, like, that, for me, that tips her over from just being, like, badly written to, like, the worst character in this story. Like, by itself. The idea that she's not, like, a chaotic being that just does whatever she wants for capricious reasons, but because she is so deeply self-centered she doesn't care who it hurts, is, like, peak somber writing for sure, but there's just means that there's no illusion of it. It's just, this is new Rampage. This is Rampage with a W. Just like Dawn is now Dusk to me, because she's just a loser. Like, she's just a whiny baby now. That's her whole character.
I mean, you're stuck actually reading the thing. I am privileged with distance. And so I don't have to, I'm not fucking immersed in Sombra's writing, and so I can just ignore whoever this is that he's writing about.
Yeah, it basically, as far as the story happened, Rampage went off and became a sky pirate as far as Weir's interpretation went, and she just never came back. Because this is a new character, as far as I'm concerned.
This is a cancer growth. This is a slowbo. If you're familiar with any of the garbage lore of DC Comics, there was a brief period where I think it was the Teen Titans or something got a part of Lobo on their crew, because back in the day, part of the joke of Lobo is that his healing factor was so absurd that if you blew him to bits, each individual bit became a Lobo.
Yeah, or it's like Deadpool had a foil for a while that was just evil Deadpool.
But Slowbo was a Lobo clone that managed to get on the Teen Titans for a little while, and, like, he had, like, a fraction of Lobo's power and none of the gusto. that's the title. So this is what the thing, the entity that they're confronted with right now is the Slowbo of Rampages.
Yeah,
is my excuse, is my headcanon.
Yes.
A while back, probably during the Society arc, Rampage got sick of this, ripped off a leg, and that idiot leg is now what you're doing.
Yeah, basically just left her a note like, you're Blackjack's best friend. I don't care what you do.
Ha 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 And that's why it wants to die so bad. That's why Rampage's right forehoof really wants to die, because it's condemned forever to be nothing more than a...
I like our version of the story we're writing.
Blackjack's appendage. Like, that's why it wants this to be over.
Yeah, so this is going to be a large, weird, chaotic mess because of the way that I did this, but let's go for it anyways. So, BJ finally meets Cognitim. The final showdown, the final thing. Cognitim is... Oh, Christ. So, if we remember months ago at this point, there's a lot of this, too. Like, these keeps happening, this chapter. So, if we remember months ago, we learned that, like, Director Horse, who took over after Golden Blood got ousted, had a secretary who was a robot that was a sex robot named Sweetie Bot, because he was really infatuated with Sweetie Belle, who in this universe is, like, a lounge singer. She became, like, a really famous singer, so he, like... She's basically Marilyn Monroe, so he made a Marilyn Monroe bot. Turns out, Cognitim is that robot! I don't think that, like, Sombra intended the level of dissonance that this scene has, because, like, she's just meant to look like she's supposed to be, like, Sweetie Belle, but, like, robotic, like, has, like, robotic eyes or whatever, and she talks like a thing. But the thing you have to understand about this, why it's so comical to me personally, is it's as if Blackjack is talking, like, it's as if the story wants us to take seriously that, like, an inflatable sex doll is our main antagonist.
You know what? I like Lex. I like incredibly, like, dark sci-fi comedy. I'm here for it. I that's something I could swallow.
But yeah,
like, broadly conceptually, like, I'm not gonna fault the idea.
Oh, give me a minute. So we learned the reason why she's so megalomaniacal, though, and not just a sex robot, is that apparently during a demonstration of Horse's version of a Crusader mainframe, and I've never had to talk about a Crusader mainframe up until this point, but a Crusader mainframe is a super advanced type of AI that you can, like, has an additional feature that you can jack a brain into, and then that brain lives on forever in the AI. So what had happened is... A Princess Luda, who was disguised at the time as a secretary named Eclipse, apparently had the, like, AI copy her brain into the mainframe, and that mixed with Sweetie Bot, and so Cognitim is Horse's secretary, but mixed with the worst parts of Luna's personality, making her a horrible, hilarious hybrid of GLaDOS and Shodan. But the thing I really want to talk about this that really, really bothers me about this revelation, because she goes on about, like, well, it's why Horse suddenly got such ahead, and he became the director, and he did all these amazing things and all this technology. The problem with this, though, audience, because I haven't really talked about Horse before, but it's part of my point. Horse is an utter footnote in this story. It does not matter who, like, that it was secretly that his secretary was doing all the thinking for him. Oh, a huge moment of wasted potential in the story that could have easily made Cognitim seem much more significant is just make it so that she was Golden Blood's secretary. Because that way, Golden Blood isn't the ubermensch who's the uber smart man. He's being manipulated by a much smarter and significant antagonist, who is also now the final antagonist. It would all loop together a lot better. But that's not what we get. We get, like, a baffling...
And it would be a follow-up on the rehabilitation work that had been done at this point. Of, like, it was never Golden Blood's fault. Well, if he's absolved of all wrongdoing, then he can also be absolved of a lot of the work, like, a lot of the, like... Yeah, that would be a fun twist that Sombra's ego, as I understand it from our long time together,
would
never be able to count.
It's really baffling to do this whole power behind the throne, but, like, the throne is a nobody. He is an utter footnote in this story. It's
the power behind the marquee, and a marquee is known for being far out into the hinterlands, where no one cares.
absolutely no goddamn person ever cares. But yeah, it's just, I just really wanted to talk about that. Like, that's not the thing that makes me angry about the scene the most, but, like, it's one of those things that's just, like, I read through that, and I'm just like, why isn't she Golden Blood Secretary? This would have made so much more sense. It would have mattered. It's kind of just one of those moments where, like, the character reveals their master plan, and then the hero just goes, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, no, this is very akin to, and once we've done that, we shall have all the ketchup packets in the Arby's with no hope of resupply.
Oh, time to get mad about something else. She also introduces Blackjack to her beautiful jar collection, and it's they're like tubes of liquid that like of like amniotic fluid that like people are suspended in, but because it keeps saying jar, it's really hard not to imagine just like a mason jar full of goo.
She like just comedy sized mayonnaise jars emptied out. Labels peeled off. You can still see some of the glue resin inside.
Exactly. Because you never get those fuckers off, even if you heat remove them. But yeah, we learn every fucker who's like we ever like thought died that has ever crossed Blackjack apparently has been kept in suspended animation. Like, Horse is apparently still alive, but he's basically dead. We learn Sanguine never died. They used necromancy to bring him back because that way she would have access.
He was Ash, though.
I don't care, apparently. Because they needed his dumb research on Project Chimera, so he just, like, is brought back, even though they would have just had access to his information anyways, so why did they need him specifically? Who cares? We also learned that, if you remember during the Hightower heist, Blackjack, like, got, like, held hostage by Snips, one of the necromancers, and then he exploded at the end of that. Apparently he didn't die. Admittedly, the aesthetics of him being alive is kind of cool, because he was a lich, his bones were his own soul jar, so everything about him besides his skeleton has been completely burned away to ash. So he's just this like blackened necrotic skeleton covered in runes, which is admittedly pretty baller. That's pretty cash money.
We watched his soul pass on. We watched his essence leave in the material plane. That's a thing that happened.
Apparently, like, he didn't.
He couldn't possibly be more dead.
And yet
here we are. Like, ultra maximally dead.
Oh, holy shit. There's a dumb argument where Cog keeps arguing against the nature of evil, because she basically pulls that very generic, like, it's like, well, you plan to kill thousands to make your perfect society, and she goes, aha, haven't you killed thousands? I am very smart. And because Blackjack is a moron and she's not written like the way she is in the Dawn scene, she's just like, okay, I guess I understand that. Like, I guess I have no ability to refute this.
How many breads have you eaten?
Yeah. Something that a friend brought up is like how comically human she also sounds. Like she's super conversational and she talks like she's just a regular person, and like it just really defeats the whole like she's a robot thing. Like, I get that like she has all the memories of Luna and she's also like a personal sex droid, so it would make sense that she's relatively personable, but like she's personable in a way that kind of doesn't really like make any of that stuff matter. And like, same with her being a robot. Like, this could just be any other antagonist. It would change nothing.
Yeah, no conception of a character voice is what I'm getting. It's just a pure sort of generic conversational tone.
Like,
there's a thousand things you could do. Like, you could have her oscillate between the joke of like Luna's forgetting to do inside voice. The majestic godhead shouting, and a secretary android. So like there you could have like a really kind of unnerving dissonance of like she's explaining the plan for total global annihilation while referring to you politely as ma'am. Would you like to know more?
Yeah, or
the coffee dispenser is to your left.
Or because she's like a comical sex bot, she just can't help but talk in a really sultry voice, or something like that. Yeah, there's anything besides this would have been better. But we learn the whole reason why the fucking story even happened the way it fucking did. So this is an insane fucking plot that could have gone wrong at any time. So they needed EC-1101, and they needed BJ to go on this stupid fucking quest for it, because they needed it directly. But an additional thing about this is the fact that Contim is like, no one will respect me as a robot, so I need a meat body. And because you are now 90% cybernetics and everyone trusts and loves you, Blackjack, I'm going to hijack your body. In turn, I will give you a new clone body that's super cool and doesn't have any of your maladies. Dawn is there, and just to really salt the wounds about like how reduced Dawn has been, all of her cybernetics are stripped, and she's just basically like a half-formed dead corpse that's like... It describes her skewered on a spike, and it describes her like a martini. Like, it's really awful.
Somber is real, real mad that somebody came in and wrote his story correctly while he was taking a piss.
Yes.
Somber is so pissed off that somebody did a good job with his garbage.
Fucking Christ.
Oh, it just keeps getting madder and madder about it. Oh, it's great. I fucking love it.
Oh, what a fucking baby brain child. Also, Charm, the one member of the society that didn't like Blackjack, decided to, like, was here, because apparently when it gets backfilled that she didn't destroy the memory orbs, she gave them to the Harbingers, because they needed the memory orbs because they needed to figure out what the fuck Project Horizons even was and where it was. There is a lot of fucking shit spent over trying to, like, BJ, like, because BJ is so without agency in the scene. Like this is one of those things that really, like, really stuck out to me and people is, like, why isn't she shooting her? And like, the only thing I can guess is, like, because she's trapped in a cutscene and she can't, like, like... Because she's like, I need your body. I'll give you this new cooler body. And BJ's like, no, that doesn't work. It's like, well, I don't care. And like, you should just be shooting her and like shooting her right now. And she just doesn't, because this whole set piece needs to fill out. But and it's also her like begging and whining to Cog that she wants to know what the fuck Project Horizons is, because BJ.
Like, in fairness, it's the only thing that she's ever wanted.
Yeah, but it just
about literally the only thing she has ever made the decision to like do and want to do is like that. That is the entire impetus of this entire baffling, largely meaningless quest, is to like track down the source of the program and find out what it is even for. That is the only thing she has ever wanted. So like, I guess you can give Somber that. Like, that does seem like a reasonable thing to desperately hold on, like, hope to finally finding out on Blackjack's part. I don't know why she cares. That's never been established. But what has been established for certain is that she cares a lot.
Yes, you're not wrong. But yeah, there's a lot of argumentation over this, and fucking, you know, Rampage, New Page shows up, being just an absolute fucking mewling worm. Like, she's like, she's like, you know, you get everything you want, and Cog gets everything you want, and the world gets saved, and whatever, and BJ's like, that's bullshit, you know, it's bullshit. Like, there's a little bit of a sign of, like, good writing here, where Blackjack's like, no, this is fucking stupid. Like, but I hate that, like, Rampage doesn't even entertain the idea that maybe this is a bad idea, even a little bit. Like, it's hard to explain exactly without, like, going over and reading yourself, but it's hard to, like, contemplate how much of a gut punch this scene really is to me, where like Rampage, BJ is not doing anything in this scene, and she's just getting talked down to by this idiot, loser, dumb robot, and like one by one every single person that she comes to rely on in this arc is just absent or actively traitorous to her, and it's just like, if the attempt was to make me feel like an unfair sense of disempowerment, then I guess like the chapter succeeds in this. That, like, literally every single person that we've ever come to rely on in the story is just absolutely fucking useless. Like, the artifice is really stripped bare in this. That Blackjack cannot, like, Blackjack's friends have no impact on the story, and even if they did, they cannot, they don't do anything at all. There's a lot of time spent over, like, well, we're just going to do this to you anyways, you have no choice, so they just zoop Blackjack into a new body. They just necromancy soul sucker soul into another body, and then Cog gets put inside Blackjack's body somehow. There's not really an explanation to how that works, it just does. Even when she tries to fight this scene, like the fucking dealer is like, oh, also, I don't want to die, and I'm also a traitor, so I'm just gonna, like, apparently I've had the ability to just shut off your body at any time, which is, like, really countermands a lot of scenes with the dealer.
Yeah, where he's begging for stuff, where he's asking her not to do a thing, if he had that leverage, probably would have used it at any of those points. I don't know. I have a vague impulse to fight back against this and, like, once again point out, isn't she a zombie? Isn't she also a lich who is tied, like, her phylactery is in her meat? Like, how do you remove...
That scene,
like,
is just abandoned. That idea is just abandoned in this scene. Utterly untrue.
Apparently.
But I just... it's just this conga line of misery that is just undeserved by this story. Like... The dealer's always been fucking shit, and him just coming up to be like, hi, also, I'm just gonna ruin everything in the scene because fuck it, is just great. And just, I don't know, the whole arc of Rampage being, like, the only thing she cares about is that, like, BJ still gets to have her babies, and that's all she cares about. And that's, like, a huge crux of the scene, and that she just apparently has never cared about anyone besides herself is just really, really made me just hate the character in general. Like, just really just burns any goodwill that I've ever had over Rampage. Like, I much prefer the fake version that we have in our story over this by a long shot, but, like...
Yeah, we have since invented a much more interesting character, which is, I think, the only reason it actually burns. Like, I take full blame.
Yeah.
It's my fault this hurts in the first place, because we've become attached to a character that was never in.
Well, I mean, this has always hurt me, though. Like, that even previous reading of this, it's like it's kind of, like, hard to explain, but, like, it's not that Somber has ever made these characters feel like they matter, but it just feels like every time we've ever had a scene that's similar to this, Blackjack has been able to get at this by being, like, a protagonist of a story. Like, she either has, like, some fun trick or some scheme or some backup plan, or someone just shows up and does a big damn hero moment or something. But this is just her getting completely ran over for no good reason besides it's a set piece. It reminds me a lot of the idea of, like, someone like the opposite of yes-anding somebody, or like a GM just telling you no, like, okay, I want to do this. No, that doesn't work. Well, why doesn't? Because I have a set piece planned. Like, every single thing you're ever going to do is going to fail because this needs to go the way I want it to. And, like, it just isn't fun to play out, and it's another one of those moments that really makes me pine for the main character of the original story of Little Pip, because, like, Little Pip would just figure a way out of this, like, because the protagonist of FOE is, like, genuinely clever, and, like, Blackjack isn't, obviously, but she's at least, like, bloodthirsty and murderous, and she has the skills to back those up. The concept that this whole scene plays out the way it does just doesn't feel earned, and it's just really frustrating.
Yeah, no, I would like anything to be earned. Because there's been a dozen things in her adventure so far that would be relevant in this moment. If Somber just didn't want this to happen, Somber just wants this to happen for whatever reason, and so nothing he's established in the past is going to stop him from doing that.
Yes.
I can probably think of more, but just off the top of my head, the fact that she's acquired, like, a lot of, like, dream warrior skills over the course of the story, like, she's like, you stroked your dick while you explained to us, like, how indifferent she was to facing down a consciousness of infinity, because she's been there, done that, seen it. Well, you know what? She has at least on two occasions, maybe more, become one with the orb space. So, like, having her consciousness shunted out of her body yet again, you could have a cool anime moment where she, like, now takes advantage of this. Like she has well cultivated astral muscles, as well established by the story up to this point. Or you could have them all panic with the horror of, wait a minute, why isn't it working? Oh, her phylactery is her skin.
Yeah. Like she's... I can't. Her souls are rooted to her bones. I can't pull them out.
But none of that. It really just hammers home that, like, nothing matters. Nothing is established. Only Somber's fickle whim.
Well, it's
his master here.
It's really
there's no commentary you can have on the text. The only commentary is speculating on the author. This is a story that is so bad that it's impossible to evaluate it with a death of the author mindset, because the text doesn't fucking say anything. They can say anything at any time. Like it's meandering gibberish.
It's a really common thread in this story that, for whatever reason, Sombra seems to be like reactionally terrified of making Blackjack be able to do anything, because it seems to just be that, like, every single time he gives her a new power, it immediately gets beaten by a stronger force, and this is just really just the culmination of that. It's like she, like, the way that Blackjack is hyped up in the story is that she's an unkillable war god of death. She is a fucking... She is a J.C. Denton meets Guts. Like, she's supposed to be really cool and strong, but she just isn't in this moment. She never was. Like, she's constantly thwarted by the stupidest bullshit, because this the author seems to be terrified of giving her anything interesting to do. But anyways, she gets betrayed. Her soul and mind gets zorped into a new body. She doesn't hurt as much, which is whatever. There's a really goofy line that I really like in my stupid idiot first time reading the story, I thought this was going to matter, that, like, Connetim is like, well, I accidentally touched souls with her for a hot second, even though God's a robot. Anyways, she's like, I touched minds with her, and for a moment I saw the blackness of BJ's true essence, and it almost destroyed me. And I thought in my idiot brain, like my stupid idiot brain, that was going to be the solution to all this, is that, like, BJ is such a beacon of misery that she has now become, like, an actual, like anathema to soul, like, to necromantic soul magic, because she is just a void now. But That just doesn't matter. That's just a dumb... It's a fun thing to tell us about, I guess. But
just an edgy throwaway.
Yeah.
Like,
but in my stupid idiot human brain, I thought the first time reading this that this was going to matter. My dumb horse meat brain.
Fool, you thought like a man and not like a goblin.
Anyways, then we get to listen to Cog ramble. Like, there is, admit, a very small amount of comedy in the fact that Cog now is in Blackjack's body, presumably just sounds like Blackjack, so it's just Blackjack rambling at Blackjack, which is very Freudian, I guess, and that's funny to me. But she explains her entire dumbass plan that's stupid and convoluted and takes a million years to explain, but basically it goes like this. Project Horizons is a final solution. It's a dead man switch on the whole of Equestria. GB hated the entire existence of everything so much that he wanted to wipe everything out. So on the moon, there is a giant of moonstone built on there that if the EC-1101 ever breaks, like it's dead, it'll trigger the dead man switch that's on it, or if the activation codes go off on it. And it will fire that piece of moon into the Eater of Souls, and since the Eater of Souls is made entirely of star metal, Moonstone hits star metal, and it causes it to rapidly expand at an explosive rate. Basically, the Trottenheimer's Folly will happen on a planetary scale, killing everything. It goes really out of its way to, like, Cognitum shows, like, these, like, holographic projections, and it shows, like, everything Little Pip ever did in her own story gets wiped out, because it really tries to hammer home yet again, like, nothing in the original story ever mattered. This is my story now. But Cog's insane ass...
The stakes are, like, so much higher, guys.
Yeah.
All my... I know that Superman saved the multiverse, but Ultra Guy has to save the Omni mega ultra cosmos.
It's like that moment in the most recent Star Wars film where they drop a line that every single Star Destroyer has a Death Star cannon on it now, because the stakes are just completely out the fucking window now. Condom's insane plan is that she's going to use this basically the safety net of shields to have it land in just the right way that it will just super expand the city into, like, because they have, like, a programming thing set up that basically they're just going to make a, like, perfect Hoofington city made entirely of invincible star metal. In theory, that'll kill the Eater of Souls for some reason, and Cog will just have this perfect nanite city that'll cover most of the Earth once it grows big enough. And then she'll just build a perfect crystalline universe within that, which is just fucking stupid and dumb. It's a dumb plan. It's stupid. It obviously isn't going to work because Cognum is an idiot, and, like, the Eater of Souls is, like, fucking non-Euclidean eldritch monster, and of course this isn't going to work. Because
also, star metal is the bad stuff.
Yes.
It's I am going to build my ideal utopia composed entirely of uranium.
Well, the idea...
Uranium? No! It'll be quite warm. Extremely radioactive.
The idea is also replacing everybody with cyborg versions of themselves as well, so they'd be immune to its effects, because that's cool. But yeah, cool. Every single time it seems like Blackjack has some leverage. Like, there is... We are reaching peak, like, reactive revisionism here in this chapter, because, like, you know, she... You know, Condom has her master stroke, and she goes to, like, input EC1 into the Project Horizons, and oh no, there's a code there. There's some sort of safety code that they never encountered. And what's this? What's going to happen? And then Blackjack figures it out in the last second that, oh, wait, it's got, like, it has, like, a number. You can only punch in a code 3 times. And it has, like, some weird secret that, like, nobody knows. And BJ goes, oh, wait, that has to be duct tape. She must have put a code on that. And she figures it out, and she's like, okay, I know who set up this code. I know how to set this up. I know how to fix this. You now need to let me go, Cog. And Cog goes, well, actually, now that I know that it's not really that big of a deal.
Actually.
It's not actually that big of a deal. I could just easily hack around it, and you don't have any leverage. And it's just like, what the fuck was the point then? Why have a stupid password if it doesn't matter? Like, this is in sentences of each other that this is reveal happens. Like, what the fuck does this matter at all? We get one last stupid thing where, like, they get contact with Project Horizons, and, like, apparently Golden Blood has uploaded his brain into the AI of the Project Horizons, and
but of course
because and you're gonna have to bear with me for this. The entire ridiculous fest quetch with all the quest markers was a trap. It was specifically a trap to net any person who is stupid enough to try and find it, because Golden Blood assumed that it would be someone who is a member of the, like, lower authority lower authority or lower seniority would try to get access to it, and this would route them all the way into the middle of Hoofington, where they would find this computer, and then he would be able to talk to them directly, and then determine their worth of character in the moment, and decide whether or not to fire a Project Horizons or not. So this entire quest of this entire story is more stupid and more pointless than I think I could ever have assumed. Because the moment he takes a look at, oh, you're Cognitive, oh, you have Luna's personality, well, I hate Luna, so fuck you. So this entire thing doesn't matter. So now they have to go to the moon to go stop Horizons and do this correctly. Cog leaves, and she's like, bye, Blackjack, I'm not gonna leave any... Oh, fuck, I almost forgot one detail.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Uh-huh.
So Blackjack, Condom is like, Blackjack, damn it, you always wanted everything. I want that victory. So I'm gonna steal your cutie mark, which is apparently the thing you can do with necromancy. Because this is... So it's diegetic within the setting that BJ... literally wins at everything she ever does because her cutie mark is Blackjack. So
except now,
somehow, so she steals her victory so that she's invincible somehow. It she goes on about talking about how she can even feel it, but it doesn't make any sense how that works at all. We learn later on at some point that specifically what Blackjack's thing is that she basically has a stand power. She has a literal stand power from Steel Ball Run, where she steals luck from other people. Whenever she would die, someone dies in her stead so that she survives. Because when she got her CM, it was over a poker game where someone else got crushed underneath a door in front of her. She thought it was because she was winning at poker, but we learn at some point that no, the reason why that is because she has a magic power that means that other people die for her. So
how is it that she's died so many times at this
point?
But
no, that's the thing. That's why she keeps coming back, though, is she steals the luck from other people.
And who is it that, like...
Who knows? Could be anybody else in the story. It's not a one-for-one, necessarily. No, don't try to think about it. It doesn't make any sense. This is total bullshit.
I'm looking around my surroundings as though the answer will be, like, under this chair or behind this box. What even? What the fuck, Stumper? You useless garbage gnome.
we got a couple more to hit you with. So when it seems like all hope is lost, another big damn hero moment shows up, and Boo filled, like, Discord appears, because he's out of Boo now, I guess, and he's like being completely useless and does nothing to really save Blackjack, but like it's set up like he's gonna save her, but like he's clearly dying, and he does like one last thing that is obviously meant to be a big masterstroke, but I can just tell you it just doesn't really pay off correctly. In some of these jars, Cog just has souls. And he's like, that soul is the soul of Princess Luna, and it looks nothing different from any others, but, like, now that we know it is, it kind of, like, irradiates darkness, I guess. And it's like, if you really are the true Luna, then you'll put that soul into your body. Just before that, Discord Head, like, zoops Snips away as a necromancer, and he eggs her on until doing this. There's a fucking, like, it feels like it's gonna do something, right? Like, you assume that there's all this setup for, like, oh, we're going to put the soul in her body, and because the soul of Luna, it, like, carries all of her emotions and feelings and core identity, that she's going to have, like, a moment of, like, self-realization and breakdown over this. But nah, she just...
It's a wishing for too much power thing.
And she blows up.
Mark on you, and, yeah.
But then she just becomes even eviler! The Alicorn soul apparently merges with the rest of Cognitim, and she becomes, like, a scary... Like, her hair turns into a big, like, flume of energy, like the princess's does, and she looks bigger and looks more like an Alicorn now, and she looks even scarier. And Discord dies doing this for some reason, because he turns back into a statue or whatever. So
for now, no one's ever really gone.
And then, fucking Christ, after this happens, the Legate shows up, and the Legate's like, ah. Oh, you've become the true Maiden of Stars, the one from Prophecy. Now I can finally defeat you. And BJ's like, oh man, is my last hope really my arch enemy? And it seems like they're going to be doing a big rumble. They even charge up attacks. And then they just embrace each other and kiss. And all the air gets sucked out of the room. And there's just egg on my face for hoping for anything. And same with Blackjack. Because it turns out, so... Months ago, years ago within the book, we get referenced once that there is a... Because, like, his helmet falls off and BJ apparently recognizes him. He was a scientist that worked on the Tokomere, also known as the Eager of Souls Four Horse. He was their zebra delegate named Dr. Amadi. We get this name fucking...
I vaguely remember that. It's
important to remember I pointed out to remember this name, because otherwise,
yeah.
The months of distance between this makes this impossible to remember. It's very much one of those moments where it's like, you're supposed to remember this, but it makes no indication to why. And I don't know, fucking who cares. It doesn't matter. But we also learned that the entirety of the Maiden of Stars thing has been a complete ruse the entire time. The Legate made up this entire prophecy thing because he wanted to sick his robot army of Coil and Zebras against the Harbingers, because it would make the Harbingers look really good, because they would defeat them, because that way when Blackjack could announce that she's the true prophet, she's the true prophetess because, you know, she's Cog now, and the Harbingers have saved the world, that she can, it's all this big scam.
All according to Cake.
Yes, it's just fucking multi-layers of interdimensional chess. This feels like it was very much made up on the spot, though, like, for sure. It doesn't feel like it was earned at all. But then the fucking, we get like a dumb thing where Dawn tries to like fight, even though she's like mostly a skeleton, still tries to like fight the goddess because she's like angry that she like did all this shit. I also missed a detail where they like, as they were like getting BJ to try and like cough up the password, they just started nuking Ares using the defense lasers just to like show off like how evil they are. But who gives a shit at that point?
The day that I get to pant Somber and shove him in a man-sized locker will be a day of profound euphoria.
Yeah, Steel Rain gets to basically just squash Dawn under his boot one last time, which is very exciting and very cash money. It's definitely what I wanted to see from this story. And just to add more dumb bullshit, she's like, I don't want to take any chances with you. So she like disconnects her mind from her soul and puts her mind into the computer that Cog was in, so she's trapped in there now. As just to add like one last moment of whatever, Steel Rain's like, hey, thanks for not killing me, champ, and then just shoots her, and then she dies, and it does the dumb little like game over, do you want to continue thing again from the last time, like one of the last times she died. And that's how the chapter ends. Oh, this one was a fucking ride.
Whatever, dude. What the fuck ever, man. Whatever, man. You gonna do this shit like mid book now? Like, it's just degenerating. Like, it's, this is so fucking sad, man.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I told you that book 5 is bad in new and exciting ways.
I don't know. I've never felt sad before. This is a new experience. Like, now I'm just sad. Like, I'm not like mad about it. Like, I've run out of angry. Like, it's just pathetic.
I'm angry at all the time wasted on this story, and I'm angry about this scene for a cacophony of reasons. But I think the one that really sticks with me, like the one that really like gets my goat, metaphorically and physically, is definitely just everything to do with Rampage's betrayal and everything to do with BJ's just lack of agency in this scene. Like, just she just gets the legs swept underneath her every single fucking time. Like, I zooped through a lot of it really fast, but I cannot even begin to describe how many times it spends where it looks like Blackjack may have some sort of clever upper hand, and then the word of God comes down and goes, nuh-uh. No, that doesn't work that way, and just wasted opportunity after opportunity, just fucking boring garbage bullshit. This chapter is obviously meant to come across to make Cog seem really serious and dangerous, and make her seem like a masterstroke of a villain, but like, she's just a joke, and she gets so much undeserved heat. This is heat because like the fucking hero is just collapsed on the floor and is dying. Like, they just wheeled out John Cena's corpse so that the villain can spin on him.
Like, before, I've been angry at Somber for committing art crime, for like doing art bad, doing crimes to art. But now, like, all I see is a guy like stumble out of the bathroom with disheveled hair, and raise his fist in the air and says, "Yeah, I'm a genius." As we can all see that he's visibly wetting himself, Somber is doing a pee pee and a poo poo right in his drawers in the middle of public, and it's just sad. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have any commentary. This man is humiliating himself in public.
Yeah, I guess it's just it's the thing that has happened multiple times in the story where I'm so frustrated with the way the author writes the characters that it makes me want them to be better. You know, like it's one of those things where it's just it's so pathetic that it's like it's like, come on, Blackjack, don't let them talk to you like that. Like, stick up for yourself. Like, we talked about this before, about the idea that this story is, like, Blackjack's war against God, and God in the story is somber. We talked about this, like, last time I really brought this up, which would have been during the horrible gang rape chapter, about how, like, I feel a certain kind of way about the characters, largely because, like, I'm so angry and frustrated and disgusted at the mistreatment of them as people. But, like, not by the characters in the story, but by the author themselves. And it's just, like, it's...
Yeah, this is definitely a protagonist against a cruel and capricious god that, like, Cognitum is not the real villain here. Like with like, in any sensible, in any story that followed its own rules, like, there'd be things that could be responded to, there'd be ways to interact with this interaction, but Cognitum is not the true villain. It is the god that rules capriciously over these events, who is a gibbering idiot.
All right, I think we're at a steam though. So
pretty much.
Do it. I don't think we have time.
Is there anything better we could be doing?
I don't think we really have time for recommendations this week. Just anything else?
Because I don't really have any.
Literally anything else. Just anything else you could possibly consume would be better than this. But yeah, if you want to contact us, you can email us at weirdingtonesq@gmail.com. I want to say .ca, but it's because I'm Canadian. and you can also contact us on our Twitters. I'm at ThouArtFi. I'm extremely not safe for work. I do the horse crime and the regular crime of lewd stuff, and also talk about politics a lot.
Titty.
Yes, I draw a lot of titty and a lot of horse fluff. If you don't know what that means, you know, be happy for yourself.
Or you can ping me at Weirdington E.
Yeah, I think you're better off contacting Weird than you are contacting me if you don't want to interact with, like, a lot of not safe work stuff. But yeah, outside of that, you can donate to Weird's Patreon. Not Patreon, Ko-Fi. We're always accepting donations, even in this trying time. Even though I do understand that a lot of people are struggling themselves, and, you know, that's fine. Any amount helps our good friend Weird, so we could fill them up with
So I can continue to eat, so that I can, like, so that my food meter doesn't drop to zero. And,
yes.
And you fill and you collapse.
Fill you up with good podcast juice. But yeah,
so I can continue to make incredibly powerful stews that give me the superhuman stamina to wade through
whatever the fuck that just was.
The literary equivalent of somber soiling himself, like, in public. And the really perverse thing is that it's a man, like, wandering in a daze, muttering that I'm not racist, but. While soiling himself and a small crowd of people applauding, like, that's the real sick part. Is the entourage? Oh yes,
He's telling it like it is. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a good time to just play us out.
Fi, do you ever think that this podcast might have been some kind of terrible mistake?
Half a million Yanks, if it takes them to tear the prices down, down, down. If it takes them to tear the prices down.